We would like to welcome you to the Red Jono Radio Show.
The Red Jono Radio Show.
With your host, the leader and company.
And company.
Stay tuned.
Well, well, well. Good evening. This is your host, Salita. And this is our Freestyle Friday. That means that anything goes. We can talk about anything. We can do anything. The calling number is 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. All right, you guys. We are supposed to be simulcasting on Universal Collective Network, which is on TuneIn.com. Hopefully, we're simulcasting. My station manager was called me earlier and said that he's going to try to make sure we're on. Now, you guys, you know, first we got to start out with our meditation because, you know, the last couple of shows we hadn't done the meditation. So I'm going to see if we can get some meditation music in here, and then we are going to, we are going to get the meditation music in, and then we're going to talk about the recipe, and then we're going to get into some stuff because I have some things I want to talk about. Okay. Here we go. Right, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. One more time, breathe in, breathe out. Zen. Wow. All right, you guys. I found this great recipe. Hopefully it is a great recipe. And it's called Hawaiian style pizza. Okay, the thing you need on your shopping list are the items that you need: a pie crust, tomato sauce, tomato paste, bell pepper, Parmesan cheese, and ham, pineapple, mozzarella cheese. On hand, you should have dried basil and dry oregano. Okay, your ingredients is 1 12-inch frozen pizza crust thawed, a 1/2 8-ounce can of tomato sauce, 1/2 6-ounce can of tomato paste, 1/8 teaspoon dry basil, 1/8 teaspoon dry oregano, 2 tablespoons grated Parmesan cheese, 1 1/2 cup of shredded mozzarella cheese divided, 4 ounces thinly sliced ham, 1 8-ounce can of pineapple chunks, and 1 green pepper thinly sliced. And this can serve up to 4 people. Now, step one, prepare pizza crust, according to package directions. Place crust on a pizza stone or baking sheet. Blend tomato sauce, tomato paste, basil, oregano, and Parmesan in a small bowl. Step two, spread tomato mixture over the crust. Sprinkle 1/2 the mozzarella on top. Cut ham into small squared range on pizza. Step three, drain pineapple cut chunks in 1/2. Arrange pineapple bell pepper on pizza, sprinkle with remaining mozzarella. And the last step is bake according to pizza crust package directions or until cheese is bubbly and the crust is brown. About 15 minutes. Slice pizza into wedges and enjoy with some wine. Wow. I added that on there. But oh, wow. Not bad. Not bad at all. Might have to try that for me and the honey. All right, you guys. Oh. First and foremost, I need to say happy birthday to my mom. Today is her birthday, even though it's late in the evening. Happy birthday, Mom. Thank God that you were able to be here with us today. Okay. Now, wow, today has been one of those days. I don't know where to start. So many things are going on, so many issues to address tonight that I'm going to try to address them accordingly. Okay. Now, as I said before, we're on Universal Collective Network on TuneIn.com. Hopefully, we're being simulcast through that, which is one of our radio stations. We are in the process of starting another radio station, and hopefully it works. I'm just like kind of like not too happy right now with one of my radio stations, the original one, is because for some reason, when you're dealing with people from out of the country, they do not answer your emails on time, and it frustrates the hell out of me, okay? Because I'm having some issues. At first, everything was working fine. Now I'm having some issues. Seems like after you start paying them, you have issues with them. But anyway, eventually, hopefully, we'll get all this mess cleared up, or I'm going to have to abandon them and go somewhere else because I really want this to work out. So anyway, that's one issue. We're in the process of starting another radio station, and so far it's looking pretty good. It's in a better position as far as me understanding what's going on with it. So with that radio station, it's fine. But I might be getting ready to do some changing around and moving some stuff around. Hopefully I can do that. I hate to have that type of attitude. I really, really, truly do. But I'm thinking about moving some stuff. Wow. Okay. Now, tonight is Freestyle Friday. That means we can talk about anything and everything. But before we do that, let's get some music in here, okay? Okay.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Provide you with
you guys. That was Music Soul Child, and I am your host, Alita McCall. This is Red Journal Radio Show. You guys, we did have a guest for tonight, Miss Veronique, but we rescheduled. We got our time mixed up. She's on the East Coast. We're on the Central Standard Time, and so we got a little mixed up, and I told her we could reschedule. Doesn't matter. I'm good with it. So we'll be rescheduling for next Thursday, okay? Next Wednesday, we have Mr. Gary Chambers out of North Baton Rouge with the situation they have in Baton Rouge. Very interesting. So we're supposed to be talking to him next Wednesday or this Wednesday coming up. Wow. Now, so much stuff. So much stuff that we can talk about. My God. So much stuff we can talk about. Just amazes me, man. It just amazes me, all the crazy stuff. Now, first of all, I know everybody is very interested about or kind of Donald Trump. Let's put it to you. You guys, I'm sorry. I think he is a waste of time. I don't see him as a threat to anybody or anyone. And if you listened to the show last night, I talked about Hillary Clinton in the process. How I am not pleased with her at all. And I'm really not pleased with Bernie Sanders either, but I would take him over her anytime right now. I feel that Donald Trump is a poison to America, and you have a lot of people who are definitely falling in line behind him. And I just like the idea that America... I made the comment, thank you, Donald Trump, for allowing America to show their true colors. And it's amazing how people really feel. And it's amazing that they have the arrogance, to have the arrogance to believe that America belongs to them. You know, I'm just amazed at the way they, and everybody has something in them. Everybody has a little black in them. That's just how it works, because we are the original people, okay? So you can pretend like you don't, but a lot of y'all do. And you can deny your original inheritance. It doesn't matter. We don't care. But I know one thing. I promise you, if anybody approach me in any way, shape, form, or fashion that is not comfortable to me, I'm going to tell you how I feel point blank. I don't really care. But back to Hillary. Hillary is not what I want. They've, you know, caught her in so many lies. I just saw a news article about them still probing into her emails, and the idea that maybe they are going to do something with her. I really don't care, because I'm not, I don't care what they do with her, to be honest with you, because I'm not a fan of hers. And I hate the idea that a lot of these black people who are falling behind us, and I said it last night, and I'm going to say it again, you know, when you have that slave mentality, it's hard for you to change. It is, because if it wasn't hard for people to change, they wouldn't be behind her. Okay, they're so used to the same mentality the Clintons have given, have hoodwinked us so many times, have bamboozled us so many times. And I said myself that I was also part of that. And I'm so glad that I woke up and seen the difference. And I have no desire whatsoever to vote for her. I'm not going to do it. You either wake up or you stay asleep. I have a desire to wake up, because I want to know what's going on, because it's going to affect me directly or indirectly. So I'm going to keep my eyes wide open, and my mind open. I mean, not only have your eyes open, have your mind open, because that's where it affects you the most, is in your mind, because that's what changes, that's what, where the major changes are taking place. When it comes to you thinking, your thought pattern changes, when you got people hoodwinking you at all times. So, with that said, let's talk about what's going on now, other than that crap with her. I'm not understanding. The idea. Oh, another thing I thought was kind of amazing. I don't know if you guys watch MSNBC. She is a talk show that comes on in the morning time. Melissa Harris Perry, which is an African American professor that has a show on MSNBC, walked off the set. She just basically said, "I'm not your token Negro. I'm not your mammy. I'm gone." Okay. She feels that they've slighted her on her show, and she says she's not a hypocrite, and she's not going to change how she sees things. And this happened right after, I think she was at the primaries in Iowa, and she was approached by someone and put her in a, you know, in a very unsafe manner, approach her in an unsafe manner. And the idea that nobody talked about it, you know, is something, you know, just amazing. But we'll understand one day. We'll get the message that we're not that important. You know, no matter how much we try to sit at the table with them, they don't want us at the table. And, you know, people say, "Well, you have all this hate speech." No, I have reality in my spirit, not no hate. I don't hate anybody. I can't stand your ass, but I don't hate you. I'm going to be straight up with you. I might can't stand your ass, but I don't hate you. And I'm not the type of person to turn the other cheek and all that crap. That's not me. I'm just telling it like it is. And that's how I look at it, is that, you know, I don't have to deal with you if I don't want to. And I'm not going to put myself in a position to deal with you if I don't have to, point blank. I'm nice to anybody who's nice to me. I'm respectable to anybody who's respectable to me. If you're not respectable to me, don't expect for me to say, "Yes, Amasa, okay, that's the way it goes." No, it's not going to happen. I'm not that type of person. Again, this is Freestyle Friday, and I'm going to talk some shit tonight, okay? Now, the idea that she walked off the show and decided to move on, which is amazing, and I'm glad she did that. That was very much well needed. Go, girl. I mean, don't settle. You know, we don't have to settle anymore. There were times back in the day when we settled for a lot of shit, and result is this is where we're at now. So we don't have to settle for anything or anybody, period. And all you people that's blind, you call yourself quote unquote colorblind, to me that's an insult to tell me that you're colorblind. I'm not colorblind. I don't care how Christianity, whatever, I'm not colorblind. I know that you're white. I know that I'm black. I know there's a difference in how we were raised. I know there's a difference in how you see us. There's a thing called white privilege and black defeatist. So, I know the difference, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I don't, and I'm not going to ignore it. It's there, it's live, and it's well, and I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to pretend like some people do. And you either live and learn that things are different, or you're going to continue to stay the same. And I know things are different, and it's over and over again. And I keep trying to tell people, when you use the word racism, understand what racism is. Okay, it's not the same as prejudice. Racism is a system. Okay. I can't be racist because I have no control over the system. Okay. Any black person can't be racist because we have no control over the system. Racism is a systematic way that affects you economically, through housing, education, and health. I have no power over that when it comes to anybody. So I can't be racist. So we got to stop being so ignorant, you know, and, you know, that's why I said open up your mind. We got to stop being ignorant to what racism is. Racism is not an act, it's a system, okay? And we've got to understand that. And as long as, you know, I hear black people say we're racist, how the hell, how are you that ignorant? Are you that ignorant? Because to me, I'm sorry, I'm not downing my people, but we got to wake up. And I might sound kind of harsh, but we definitely got to wake up, because we can't be racist. We don't have the power. to be racist. We can't control whether or not somebody get a job. We can't control where people live. We barely can control where we live. We barely can control the jobs we have because they're not guaranteed. So how in the world can we be racist? We can be prejudiced. We can be indifferent. We can hate. But we cannot be racist. So stop giving yourself that illusion that you're racist. And don't let no other black person tell you that you're racist. Okay? Understand the whole concept behind racism. Okay? We've got to stop being so ignorant and open up our minds, you guys. We've got to stop that. You know, we say the most craziest things without knowing the meaning behind it because you heard someone else say it. Do your own homework. Quit listening to everything everybody says, including me, because if you don't believe what I say, look it up. And I could be wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say I know everything. And I could be wrong. I could have read the wrong thing. But please quit saying other black folks can be racist. We can't. Okay? We can't. And despite how some of us feel, I have a very indifferent feeling about how we've been treated as a people. I'm not saying all white people are like that. I'm just saying there's a lot of them that are like that, and they hide. And that's why they use Donald Trump is their, is their warrior, is their example of how they really see us and how they see other races of people, other colors or whatever you want to say. I want to say race of people. You know, the white privilege, the supremacy of whiteness. That's what they represent. That's what he represents to them. So my thing is, don't get angry at me, you know, because I don't believe the same way you believe, you know. But don't let anybody tell you that you're racist as a black person. Please don't let nobody tell you that. That's the most ignorant thing a black person can tell another black person. Really, it is. I'll be honest with you. Or tell a white person or anybody. We're not racist. We don't have that authority to be racist. Okay? We don't have that authority at all to be racist. So please, please stop allowing other black folks call you racist. Okay? And all these these wannabes, because that's what I'm going to call you, wannabes, in denial, wake up, okay? Wake up, because it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm going to tell you that right now, and it's right at the brink of it, okay? When you think about police brutality, okay, it's at the brink. And this is me talking from a conspiracy theorist point of view. I believe that a lot of this stuff, when it comes to police brutality, I believe a lot of this is being orchestrated on purpose. And because we're so, how do you want to say that? Because we're so slow. We're so slow and we turn the other cheek and we just get down on our knees and we pray. We're not moving fast. We're not reacting like they want us to. We're not fighting back. Because once we start fighting back, that's when the war will be on between the races. I'm going to be honest with you. Once we take action to fight back, literally as a whole fight back like they're doing to us, we're going to, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for us to step out of our comfort zone and step up and say something or do something. That's what they're waiting on, and we haven't done it yet. because we got these great soft shoe damn ass punk ass, excuse my language, leaders that gutless ass, I'm gonna say like this so called leaders, that's just pathetic. Not to say that I'm invoking any type of violence, but I'm trying to figure out when enough is gonna be enough. Yesterday I talked a little bit about New Iberia Parish, which is a parish here in Louisiana, where they're starting to arrest and some of the jailers, police brutality. And people are starting to sing and whistleblow and the whole nine yards. So to me, I think it's going to be inevitable that, and I said this, and this is just me, I'm not trying to say anybody else said this, I'm saying it myself, that the chicken is coming home to roost. And it's not just one chicken. It's several chickens that are coming home to roost. And it's not over until the fat lady sings. And once we get that understanding that it's not over till the fat lady sings, we got something to deal with. And I think that eventually we're going to get tired. We're going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And a lot of things are going to start happening. A lot of things are going to be taking place that is going to affect us directly, not indirectly, but directly. And it has to start with us. It definitely has to start with us. You guys, I don't know if you're familiar with the young lady. Well, she was 50, so she's a young lady to me. I don't know if you're familiar with the young lady who they found dead in prison. Excuse me. Her name was Cornell. And she had went to the hospital. I'm sorry to change. It just came to my mind to talk about this. She went to the hospital to because she was having some problems with her stomach. So instead of them letting her get the proper treatment, they arrested her at the hospital for a bench warrant for shoplifting that happened back in 2011 because she probably didn't pay her fees or whatever, court fees or whatever. So they went after her and they found her and they arrested her instead of taking care of her while she was at the hospital, making sure she got seen, they took her to the jail. Now, when they took her to the jail, she was still complaining about hurting, and they have like what you call third-party medical personnel that ignored her and the jailers. They said that the jailers tried to tell them that she was sick and nobody listened to her, so she died dehydrated. These are the things, when I think about her, I think about Sandra Bland. I think about the other young ladies, like three or four of them that have died in the prison, I mean, in jail. Not prison, but in jail. With this whole situation. And it's just, it amazes the hell out of me that we don't see anything wrong with this, okay? I don't know. And I'm not going to say they did it on purpose or whatever. But whenever we stop making ourselves important to ourselves, people stop making us important to them. And a lot of us don't see ourselves important to each other, so it's easy for somebody to mistreat us, ignore us, blame us. It's easy for them to do that because we don't take any pride in ourselves. We don't take care of each other. We'll backstab each other in a heartbeat because that's what we do. Not all of us, just a handful of us do that. and it doesn't benefit us as a people. Now, there's a lot of us who are really trying to work things and make things happen, but you can't do it by yourself. I keep thinking about the Flint situation. I think about the Jackson, Mississippi situation, and also the situation we have here. All of these are orchestrated, and all of these are big business, whether it's the city, state, private, is big business. And the ideal, and I made a comment with white capitalists and white folks who seem to make it all right for them to abuse us in every way possible, financially, mentally, emotionally, economically. They do these things, and they don't, when will we understand some of these people are psychopaths? They don't have a conscience. I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying a lot of them. They don't have a conscience. So they can do things and say things and make things happen that's against us. They can do that. And it's crazy, but it's true. Now, what I want to do now, I want to take another break. And I want to come back, and we're going to talk about the Depo-Provera and HIV. I'm going to bring Elaine Riddick on here, if you guys are not familiar with her. She is a young lady who was purposely sterilized back in the day when she was about 14 years old after she had her only son. And they didn't tell her that's what they were going to do to her. She didn't find out till she was 18 and married. That they had sterilized her. After she got married and they were trying to have babies, they was wondering why they couldn't have babies. And then when she went to the doctor, she found out why she couldn't have a baby. I'm going to bring her on the show. I just got to pick the time and I got to catch her because she's been very, very busy. But we're going to talk about that when we come back. Very interesting things that are going on in this world right now. Very, very interesting. So, we're going to take a break and then we'll be back. Okay, you guys?
I heard on the news about that 5-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online for like a year. She couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, this is so great.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious. Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, we are back here on the Red Journal Radio Show. This is Freestyle Friday, and I am your host, Salita. And you guys, if you want to call in to chime in on our conversation, you can call in at 347-677-1749. You guys, I forgot to mention the different shows that we have on Universal Collective Network. We have Center Stage. We have Unmasked with authorist Terry Lyle. We have Delicious Talk with Gail Johnson. Definitely got Dino Dean, the Dino Dean Show. And all these shows are from the Blog Talk family. And I'm just like amazed. And I'm trying to hopefully be able to have an all-talk 24-hour radio station. That's what I want. I thought it would be easier to do the all-talk opposed to trying to stick music in everything. But I think it's wonderful to be able to do this. So those are the shows that are on there. And plus, you know, Red Journal Radio Show is going to be somewhere in there. Oh, and I forgot Real Talk Radio with Brother Jay, who is our station manager. Hi, Brother Jay, if you're out there. He also has a talk show. So all of us together are trying to make a difference in talk shows. Hopefully everything works out and I'll be able to do that. We'll be able to do that. And you guys are going to hear more about us. Like I said, we are being simulcast on the Universal Collective Network on TuneIn.com. So if you want to call in, you can call in at 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749, or just sit back and either listen to us here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can listen to us on TuneIn, Universal Collective Network. All right. Now, we were talking about the Depo Vero shot, and this is something Miss Elaine is very much, I mean, she is an advocate to stop this, prevent it. They've been at the Capitol. They've been talking about legislation, the whole nine yards. So this is from pop.org, and they're talking about Depo Vero and HIV. Now, it says that injectable contraceptives like Depo-Vero increases the risk of HIV transmission. A recent meta-analysis conducted in collaboration with the Population Research Institute reviewed a total of 24 studies published in the peer-reviewed journals and found a significant increased risk of acquiring HIV when using Depo-Vero and other injectables. Injectable contraceptives are commonly used worldwide, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, where the prevalence of HIV remains high. International programs that are providing DMPA contraceptives to areas with high HIV prevalence may be contributing to the spread of AIDS. So, basically it's saying that AIDS is being purposely put in these areas. Now, you want to know what Depo-Vero and DMPA is. Depo-Vero is a pharmaceutical brand owned by Pfizer, Inc., and is the most widely used injectable contraceptive worldwide. Depo-metronidazole oxaliplatin, or DMPA, is the active ingredient in Depo-Provero and in other popular DMPA injectables, including Dep Sub Q Provero 104, Seiyao Press, and a number of other brands. DMPA injectables prevent pregnancy for 3 months. Studies have shown, however, that Depo-Provero can delay a return to fertility for much longer, up to 31 months. Wow. So they're saying after you have the injection, after the 30, your 3 months are up, it can prevent you from even getting pregnant until 31 months after. Wow. Okay. It says DMPA injectables are administered as an intramuscular or subcutaneous injection. DMPA consists of large doses of artificial steroids that prevent follicular maturation and ovulation. I can't even read. DMPA has been noted to maintain thick cervical mucus, which prevents fertilization. DMPA also causes endometrial thinning, which makes the uterine lining hostile to blastocyst implantation in the event that an egg does become fertilized. Now, what is this associated risk of acquiring HIV with DMPA? A recent meta-analysis, Brind, 2015, conducted a collaboration with the Population Research Institute, found that associated risk of acquiring HIV with DMPA usage was significantly higher than for women who did not use DMPA-based injectable contraceptives. DMPA was found to increase women's risk of contracting HIV by 49% compared to women not using steroidal hormonal contraceptives. Over 88% of cross-sectional study and over 75% of longitudinal studies observed a positive association between HIV acquisition and DMPA use. These findings were confirmed in earlier, less precise studies comparing the risk of DMPA compared to the general population. Less precise, non-prospective studies found DMA increased the risk of HIV transmission by over 40%. Wow. These findings are confirmed in two other meta-analyses published that were also published in 2015. In Lancet Infectious Disease, found a pool hazard ratio of 1 to 4 or 95% DMA users. Also, PLOS medicine also found similar results with adjusted hazard ratio of 1.5-95% for DMPA. All three meta-analyses found that the risk of acquiring HIV with DMA is 40 to 50% higher than the comparison group. So, if this is the most widely, why do you think that it's the most widely used contraceptive? So, if we have HIV, we give it to our babies eventually when we get pregnant, we either die or we're on medicine for the rest of our lives. So you think about that. Now, it says, how does DMPA increase the risk of HIV acquisition? Now, it says, researchers are not entirely certain why women who use DMPA interjectable contract HIV at a higher rate than the general population. A number of likely mechanisms of action have been proposed. Now, let's talk about HIV real quick. You guys know that HIV is a man-made disease, just like cancer and a lot more. So, if it's a man-made disease, how do you think they're catching it? Okay. DMPA is an artificial steroid made to mimic the effects of natural endogenous progesterone, a hormone that helps regulate the menstrual cycle and is crucial during pregnancy for the health of the fetus. One of the effects of progesterone, is to attenuate the immune system's inflammatory response to allow the body to accept embryo during pregnancy. The attenuation of the immune system could also make it easier for HIV virus to cause an infection. Progesterone also has the effect of thinning of the epiderm of the lower reproductive tract during the luteal phase of the menstrual cycle. This can make it easier for the body to become infected with HIV or STIs. The thinning of the epiderm and increase the viral transmission has been observed in controlled experiments of the rhesus macaques with simian SIV, the received progesterone implant similar to DMPA. Some have suggested that the DMPA can reduce the body T cell count. In vitro experiments have shown that this can accentuate immune system, and T cells can kill the T cell. Now, why do you guys think that this is important? You have to understand that we have a lot of people who are in the process of practicing eugenics. Now, eugenics, let's talk about the history of eugenics real quick. I want to see if we can, and I don't want to sit here and read a lot of stuff to you, but I want you to understand why we need to make sure. We're going to talk about it. Why is eugenics even a factor? Okay. Now, according to Wikipedia, it says that eugenics is a set of beliefs and practices which aims at improving the genetic quality of the human population. Played a significant role in the history and culture of the United States prior to its involvement in the World War II. It says eugenics was practiced in the United States many years before eugenics programs in Nazi Germany. Okay, keep that in mind. And U.S. programs provided much of the inspiration for that latter. Stefan Huell has documented the consensus between Nazi race policies, those of the eugenicists in other countries, including the United States, and points that the eugenicists understood Nazi policies and measures as the realization of their goals and demands. During the progressive era of the late 19th and early 20th century, eugenics was considered a method of preserving and improving the dominant groups in the population. It is now generally associated with racist, anapodist, elements. I don't care how you say it, eugenics was a way to make the superior. Did you hear what he said about the dominant race? So we go back to white supremacy. Okay. Now it says the early proponents of eugenics was the American eugenics movement was rooted in biological determinist ideals of Sir Francis Galton. That's the first person, which originated in the 1880s. Galton studied the upper class of Britain and arrived at the conclusion that their social positions were due to the superior genetic makeup. Bullshit, okay? Early proponents of eugenics believed that through selective breeding, the human species should direct its own evolution. They tended to believe in the genetic superiority of the Nordic, Germanic, and Anglo-Saxon people, supported strict immigration and anti-miscegenation laws, and supported the forcible sterilization of the poor, disabled, and immoral. Wow, what a damn shame. Eugenics was also supported by African-American intellectuals like E.B. Du Bois, Thomas Wyatt Turner, and many academics at Tuskegee University, Howard University, and Hampton University. However, they believed that best blacks were good as the best whites. The talented tenth of all races should mix. W.E.B. Du Bois believed only fit blacks should procreate to eradicate the racist heritage of moral iniquity. Wow. Did you guys know that even these people? I didn't know that. I just learned something. Wow. Okay. It says the American eugenic movement received extensive funding from the various corporations, foundations, including the Carnegie Institution, Rockefeller Foundation, and the Caravan Railroad Fortune. In 1906, J.H. Kellogg, these last names should be very familiar to you. J.H. Kellogg provided funding to help found the Race Betterment Foundation, and Battle Creek, Michigan. Can you believe what they just said? The Race Betterment Foundation. Wow. It says the Eugenic Record Office, ERO, was founded in Cold Spring Harbor, New York. Wow. Listen to the states now. In 1911, by the renowned biologist Charles P. Davenport, using money from both the Harriman Railroad fortune and the Carnegie Institution, as late as the 1920s, the ERO was one of the leading organizations in the American eugenics movement. In years to come, the ERA collected a mass of family pedigrees and concluded that those who were unfit came from economically and socially poor backgrounds. Now, it says eugenicists such as Davenport, the psychologist H. Henry Goodard, Henry H. Laughlin, and the conservative Madison Grant, all well-respected in their time, began to lobby for various solutions to the problem of the unfit. Davenport favored immigration restriction and sterilization as a primary method. Goodard favored segregation in his the Calicat family. Grant favored all of the above and more, even entertained the ideal of extermination. Wow. The Eugenics Record Office later became the Cold Primary Method, Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. Eugenics was widely accepted in the U.S. academic community. By 1928, there were 376 separate university courses in some of the United States' leading schools, enrolling more than 20,000 students, which included eugenics in the curriculum. But you can't find Black history in the curriculum, but you can find eugenics in the curriculum. Wow. Wow. It did, however, have scientific detractors. Notably, Thomas Hunt Morgan is one of the few Mendelians to explicitly criticize eugenics. Though most of these focus more on what they consider the crude methodology of eugenics and the characterization of almost every human characteristic as being hereditary, rather than the ideal of eugenics itself. By 1910, there was a large dynamic network of scientists, reformers, and professionals engaged in national eugenic projects and actively promoting eugenic legislation. The American Breeders Association, what kind of damn name is that? The American Breeders Association was the first eugenic body in the U.S., established in 1906 under the direction of biologist Charles B. Davenport. The ABA was formed specifically to investigate and report on heredity in the human race and emphasize the volume of superior blood in the midst of society of inferior blood. What kind of bullshit is this? Again, you guys, 347-677-1749 if you want to chime in as we talk about eugenics. See, I didn't know this. I thought I knew a lot about it. I did not know this. Wow. Okay. Now, and you know what? I'm not a Wikipedia fan. I'm really not, because sometimes some of the stuff they say might not be true. But I truly believe this. And I know that tonight was supposed to be music, soul, peace, pleasant, talk, mindful. But I don't feel that way right now, okay? I don't feel peaceful. I don't feel pleasant. And I am very mindful of what I'm talking about. All right? By 1910, there was a large and dynamic network of scientists, reformers, and professionals. Oh, we were talking about ABA. Okay, ABA was formed specifically to investigate and report the hereditary in the human race and emphasize the value of superior blood in the menace to society of inferior blood. Membership included Alexander Graham Bell, Stanford President David Starr, George and Luther Burbank. The American Association for the Study and Prevention of Infant Mortality was one of the first organizations to begin investigating infant mortality rates in terms of genetics. They promoted government intervention attempts to promote health for future citizens. Now, it says several feminist reformers advocated an agenda of eugenic legal reform. Now, before we go there, let me go back. Every one of these persons who had something to do with eugenics, they were all males. Again, when it comes to the reproductive process, it's always a man trying to make a decision for a woman. That is a control, superiority type complex, narcissistic, arrogant concept. Okay? And it's full of shit. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to hold no punches. I'm old enough to curse. Okay. It says several feminist reformers advocated an agenda of eugenic legal reform. The National Federation of Women's Clubs, the Women's Christian Temperance Union, and the National League of Women Voters were among the variety of state and local feminist organizations that at some point lobbied for eugenic reform. One of the most prominent feminists to champion the eugenic agenda was Margaret Sanger, the leader of the American Birth Control Movement. Margaret Sanger saw birth control as a means to prevent unwanted children from being born into a disadvantaged life. Oh, they're trying to make her sound like she was this angel. Excuse me. And incorporated the language of eugenics to advance the movement. Sanger also sought to discourage the reproduction of persons who it was believed would pass on mental disease or serious physical defects. She advocated sterilization in cases where a subject was unable to use birth control. Unlike other eugenicists, she rejected euthanasia. For Sanger, it was individual women and not the state who should determine whether or not to have a child. Okay. Now, they actually sugarcoated what her according to what I understand, what her role was into this and in this whole eugenics thing. wow. Okay, in the Deep South, Women's Association played an important role in rallying support for eugenic legal reform. Eugenicists recognized the political and social influence of Southern club women in their communities and used them to help implement eugenics across the region. Between 1915 and 1920, federated women's clubs in every state of the Deep South had a critical role in establishing public eugenic institutions that were segregated by sex. For example, the Legislative Committee of the Florida State Federation of Women clubs successfully lobbied to institute a eugenics institution for the mentally retarded that was segregated by sex. Their aim was to separate mentally retarded men and women to prevent them from breeding more feeble-minded individuals. Ain't this some bullshit? Florida has a long history of being such a racist state. They said the Deep South, so that includes Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and maybe even Texas. Okay, it says here, public acceptance in the U.S. was the reason eugenics legislation was passed. Almost 19 million attended the Panama Pacific International Exposition in San Francisco, open for 10 months from February 20th to December 4th, 1950. The PPIE was a fair devoted to extolling the virtues of rapidly progressing nations, featuring new developments in science, agriculture, manufacturing, technology. A subject that received a large amount of time and space was that of the developments concerning health and disease, particularly the areas of tropical medicine and race betterment. Tropical medicine being the combined study of bacteriology, parasitology, and entomology, while racial betterment being the promotion of eugenic studies. Having these areas so closely intertwined, it seemed that they were both categorized in the main theme of the fair, the advancement of civilization. In the public eye, the seemingly contradictory areas of study were both represented under progressive banners of improvement and were made to seem like plausible courses of action to better American society. You know, we don't get it. When it comes to certain things, we do not understand that a lot of things are under the guise of something else. What do they call that? Red herrings? I think that's what it's called. We'll look that up. We have, and that's why they say, when they say we have been hoodwinked or bamboozled, because they tell you one thing and really they're doing something totally different. As you can see, the Nazis was involved. I'm not surprised of the African-Americans, because you have to understand W.E.B. Du Bois was also, if I'm not mistaken, part of the NAACP. And we thought NAACP was for us, and we realized that it wasn't. And I'm sorry, I'm not an NAACP fan. I don't care who it is, who belongs to it. I am not a fan of the NAACP, because I look at the history of things, not to say that I'm holding that against them, but I look at your history, what your beliefs are, what your missions are. Most of the time, they don't change. What is your purpose? Those usually don't change when it comes to organizations, okay? Unless it's a brand new organization. But as we know, NAACP has been around for a long time, okay? Now, beginning with the Connecticut in 1896, many states enacted marriage laws with eugenic criteria prohibiting anyone who was epileptic, imbecile, or feeble-minded from marrying. Isn't that some shit? The first state to introduce compulsory sterilization bill was Michigan in 1897, but the proposed law failed to garner enough votes by legislators to be adopted. 8 years later, Pennsylvania state legislature passed a sterilization bill that was vetoed by the governor. Indiana became the first state to enact sterilization legislation in 1906. So as you can see, Pennsylvania tried it, it failed. Connecticut tried it, it failed. And Michigan tried it, it failed. But Indiana was able to enact the sterilization legislation. This was in 1907. Followed closely by Washington and California in 1909. Sterilization rates across the country were relatively low, California being the sole exception until 1927 Supreme Court case Buck versus Bell, which legitimized the forced sterilization of patients at a Virginia home for the mentally retarded. The number of sterilizations performed per year increased until another Supreme Court case, Skinner versus Oklahoma in 1942. Complicated the legal situation by ruling against sterilization of criminals. If the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution was violated, that is, if sterilization was to be performed, then it could not exempt white-collar criminals. The state of California was at the vanguard of the American eugenics movement, performing about 20,000 sterilizations, or one-third of the 60,000 nationwide from 1909 until the 1960s. So California, shame on your ass, okay? Now, while California had the highest number of sterilizations, North Carolina's eugenics program, which operated from 1933 to 1977, was the most aggressive of the 32 states that had eugenics programs. An IQ of 70 or lower meant sterilization was appropriate in North Carolina. The North Carolina Eugenics Board almost always approved proposals brought before them by local welfare boards. Of all the states, only North Carolina gave social workers the power to designate people for sterilization. Here at last was a method of preventing unwanted pregnancies by the acceptable, practical, and inexpensive method, wrote Wallace Courant in March of 1967, Journal of the North Carolina Board of Public Welfare. The poor readily adopted the new techniques for birth control. Now, this right here is where Miss Elaine Riddick, which I mentioned, this is where she fell into this, because she was from North Carolina. But she was not aware, because she was raped at 14, so she was not aware of the damage that it has done to her, till later on, 4 years later, when she got married. So it's saying that the poor readily adopted as a birth control. That's bullshit, because she says she didn't know it happened. All she knew is she had a baby. That's all. And she didn't realize it and didn't find out later because of that. And I know she's graduated from college. If she had a low IQ, she actually graduated from college. So I don't know. Okay. And I'm going to stop right there because I'm getting pissed. I'm sorry. I get pissed at stuff like this. It's just amazing how we find these white folks find a way to, and it's sad when you have a couple of us involved in the destruction of a society. And who the hell are you to tell me I'm not worthy to live? Who the hell are you who has the nerve to tell me that I shouldn't have children because I might be a little slow? See, these people act like they're gods, and that's why things are happening the way they're happening. You think about Bill Gates. Bill Gates stays in trouble. And it amazes me that he's still doing the shit that he's doing, and we're allowing him to do the shit that he's doing. It just amazes me how he is a big advocate of he gives some people, he gives computers to black communities and turn around and he goes overseas and sterilize them. I don't care how rich he is. I don't give a shit about your richness. That doesn't faze me. What fazes me is the ideal that what you're doing to people all over the world. I don't give a shit if you're rich. Your money doesn't mean shit when you're purposely giving vaccines to people that's hurting them. You're under the guise that they have malaria. People are, they're not happy with what he's doing. And he's spending a lot of money because he is very much so an advocate for eugenics. And he doesn't have a damn cure for shit. What he's doing is he's going over there and sterilizing these women and men. I mean, women and children, where they can't have a further their future, because we have too many people according to their godlike fucking vision, excuse my language, that we that they shouldn't have children, because this goes back to the original. This goes back to the original viewpoint that we shouldn't have children. My people, and I'm saying my people, excuse me, with the ideal, I'm sorry, you guys, I'm trying to type something here. Here we go. Let's see. Okay, here we go. There is an article. This happened 2 years ago in October 2014, where it says that India holds Bill Gates accountable for his vaccine crimes. As Bill Gates faces a lawsuit for the illegal testing of tribal children in India, it appears that his crimes against humanity have finally caught up with him. So people have been complaining about him with this shit long time ago. A recent report published in the Health Impact News has reported that Gates Foundation has found itself facing a pending lawsuit due to an investigation that is being carried out by the Supreme Court of India. And he'll probably pay his way out of everything. It says, while fraud and corruption are revealed on almost a daily basis now in the vaccine industry, the U.S. mainstream media continue to largely ignore such stories. Outside the U.S., however, the vaccine empires are beginning to crumble, and English versions of the news in mainstream media outlets are available via the internet. So the internet is a very powerful tool for us to use. It says, one such country is India, where Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation and their vaccine empire are under fire, including a pending lawsuit currently being investigated by the India Supreme Court. It says the Health Impact News article centered largely on a four-page report that was recently published by the Economic Times India. Eager to know more, I investigated their story and discovered that the World Health Organization, the Gates Foundation, and two organizations funded by them, PATH, which is a program for appropriate technology and health, and the GAVI, which is Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, have found themselves under fire after a writ of petition originally submitted to the Supreme Court of India by Kopana Mahathla, don't ask me these names, and Dr. Rukumi Rial in 2012 was finally heard by the courts. Okay. The petitioner submitted that the petition stated that BMGF, PATH, and WHO were criminally negligent trailing the vaccines on a vulnerable, uneducated, and underinformed population, school administrators, students, and their parents, who were not provided informed consent or advised of potential adverse effects or required to be monitored post-vaccination. So they were being used as experiments. I know how that feels. It was done to us in Desert Storm, so I know how that feels. It says, the young tribal girls tested with HPV vaccines. So they were testing the HPV vaccine, which is, I don't know if it's the same name, but it was called Gardasil. It is the same name. So they were testing these on the young girls of India. It says the Economic Times India published the report August 2014. They stated that in 2009, tests had been carried out on 16,000 tribal school children in Andhra Pradesh, India, using the human papillomavirus HPV vaccine Gardasil. Wow. According to the report, written by K.P. Narya Kumar, within a month receiving the vaccine, many of the children fell ill, and by 2010, five of them had died. Wow, again. A further two children were reported to have died in Valdora, Gujarat, where an estimated 14,000 tribal children were vaccinated with another brand of HPV vaccine, Cervarius, manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline. Shockingly, the report stated that many of the consent forms used to vaccinate the girls were signed illegally, either by the wardens from the hostels where many of the girls resided or using thumbprints from illiterate parents. This traversally was not discovered until a team of health activists from non-government organization SAMA, an organization specializing in women's health, decided to investigate what had been going on. Wow, glad they did that. According to the report, they were shocked to discover that a total of 120 girls had been taken ill, suffering from a variety of symptoms, including epileptic seizures, severe stomach aches and headaches, and mood swings. Okay, it says the Economic Times stated the SAMR report also said that there have been cases of early onset of menstruation following the vaccination, heavy bleeding and severe menstrual cramps among many students. The standing committee pulled up the relevant state governments for the shoddy investigation into these deaths. It said it was disturbed to find that all seven deaths were summarily dismissed as unrelated to vaccination without in-depth investigation. The speculative causes were suicide and accidental drowning in well. Why not suicide? Malaria, viral infections, subarachnoid hemorrhoids without autopsy. This information is even more shocking when you discover that the organization funding the study was one was none other than the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who declared the project as a total success. Now, do you see how I don't get excited about Bill Gates? Because I knew he was doing this. I just didn't know. I kind of glimpsed over some articles dealing with him. And my attention when not only with Miss Riddick in my, believe it or not, my environmental class brought a lot of this to my attention on what was going on when I was in school. And the idea that Bill Gates, people praise this man like he is a god, and he is killing people left and right. I don't understand. He's a international murderer. And I don't understand why we think this is all right and we praise him. It's just like the Hillary Clinton bullshit. Do y'all understand? These people are dangerous to us. They are not good for us. When will we realize that? These people are dangerous. They're like a poison to us. So when people talk about high praise to Bill Clinton, y'all full of shit. I mean, to Bill Clinton or Bill Gates. Excuse me, I meant to say Bill Gates. It just amazes me that we ignore this and that we don't pay more attention to what he has done and how we should be calling him for what he is. We've always, for some reason, the disadvantage has always been the guinea pigs for a lot of stuff. And not only the disadvantage, you have smart people. You have the Tuskegee experiment. You got the Desert Storm with the, what are those damn pills were called? Anti-nerve gas pills that we took. You know, leaving long terms of sickness and, they want to downsize. For example, when it comes to the anti-nerve agent, green pill, I'll never forget those pills that we had to take. We didn't know that they had never been tested anywhere else. All we were known was we were forced to take them. So we took them because we were told to take them. The end result is a lot of people got sick. My sickness, I suffer with fibromyalgia, and I know you guys, they say it's a mental arthritis. I don't know. It's where the nerves are on alert constantly all the time. Well, from what we gathered or what was told to us, it was part of the Desert Storm, what do they call that, Desert Storm disorder or whatever, affected us. It affected how we did things. It affected our bodies in certain ways. Everybody didn't get affected the same way, but we were affected. And we didn't know that these drugs were not already tested. We didn't realize that we were the guinea pigs. And a lot of people suffered because of that. I'm not sure about any type of disease. And I think I want to come back and talk about that at a later time. We talk about the anti-nerve agent pills, the end result of what they've done to a lot of soldiers. So I understand how these young women felt being guinea pigs for the Bill Gates Foundation. So just because he's over Microsoft and he gives away a couple of computers doesn't impress me at all. At all. So I want to take another break, you guys, because I don't want to talk constantly. I'm going to take another break and then we'll come back.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids
less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right.
You are a waste. A loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas and get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit stopbullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, I didn't play any music tonight. Let's see. Let's get a little bit of music in. I didn't put a lot of music in my arsenal tonight, and I don't know why. But you know what? I think I can play a little bit of something. What you think? Let's see. You know what I would like to hear? I would like to hear that song by Beyonce. I think it's amazing. Let's see. It's so amazing how America, you guys, boy, oh boy. We got so much to learn if we want to learn it, if we want to open our eyes to what society is showing us. And every day is something different. And we find a way to tie, you know, we get into our little boxes, our comfort zones, as long as it's not my family, it's not this and it's not that. I don't care. But you guys, like I said before, decisions that are made by others directly or indirectly affects us, whether we want to admit it or not. And we don't think that it will, but it does. And it's just devastating how people find these things important. Now, you guys, I'm going to tell you about Foxfire, which blows me away. I noticed that when I'm doing YouTube, Foxfire always gives me this not responding. And I'm going through all of this just to get to one. I'm just trying to get to this one video, which is, you know, it's not really, really big thing, but I think it's a song that should be played. Oh, boy. You know what? You guys, I'm sorry. I just want the damn, what's the name? I just want the damn video. Why does it have to make it so hard to find the video? I just want the video. Give me the video. Here we go, the official video. And I just want you guys to hear it. Okay. Wait a minute, you guys. Oh, yeah, this is it. Wait a minute. That's not it.
sitting in the back, got my things in my grill. Brooklyn room with my eyes sitting low. Every boy in here with me got that smoke. Every girl
I'll go ahead and let this play, but this is not what I wanted.
All on Instagram, face by the pound. Circulate the image every time I come around. Jeez, oh, you tell me how I'm looking, babe.
What is up for you? Just walk my way.
Tell me how I'm looking, babe. Tell me how I'm looking, babe.
Do this all for you, baby. Just take me.
Tell me how I'm looking, babe. Tell me how I'm looking, babe. Looking, babe.
Drop the bass, main the bass, get lower. Radio, say speed it up. I just go slow. Highlight trouble. Puffin' on the beers. The man ain't ever seen the booty like this. And why you think my name rolling off the tongue? When she wanna smash, I just write another one. I sneeze on the beat and the beat got sicko. Don't stay all on his mouth like liquor. 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 Like liquor, like liquor. Don't stay all on his mouth like liquor.
All right, that was in formation. I was just looking for a formation. I don't know what that one is. But I'm sorry, you guys. Why did that happen? Okay. Okay. It didn't play like I wanted to play. I apologize for that. It didn't play like I wanted it to. Again, I apologize for that. It did not play like I wanted it to, and now I'm out of that. Okay, so we've actually, I'm not going to talk anymore about Bill Gates because, I mean, his money will probably get him out of everything he does. It always does, so, I mean, that's the superiority and the supremacist that they can get away with murder, literally, because as I read from this article, people died in the process of him testing them. And like I said before, I don't care how many computers he give out to the underprivileged or the low income, he's still killing people, okay? And to me, that's important. I guess nobody's life is worth living, but the superior, the godlike people just really fucking amazes me. Okay? They really amaze me. Wow. Well, okay. Now, let's, before we go, I want to talk about some things. We have about 26 more minutes, so I know I should have had more music prepared, but I didn't, and I apologize for that. I've noticed, too, on a lot of things that some people have been complaining about Facebook kind of erasing some of the stuff that they've been talking about, some of the videos. You guys understand this, and I don't know if Blog Talk doing the same thing, but I know for sure the night that I had one of the original Black Panthers, his name was Victor Houston, on my show, I had some serious technical difficulties. Last night when I had a show, it was perfect. Tonight, it's perfect. So I'm just so amazed. The ideal that night I was having so many problems with Blog Talk. Now, Blog Talk, you have been very good to me. You have allowed me to have an outlet. to get information out, to get my feelings out, to interview other people without that many problems. But what bothered me was when I mentioned it to you, you gave me this long drawn out excuse about my computer not being cleaned out in my history. And the idea was I was using my brand new computer, so I know was nothing wrong with my brand new computer. I had to come out of this computer, because I have two computers sitting up here. I had to come out of one computer and go in the other one. So I know that my brand new computer has never given me any problems. Why would it give me problems then? But okay, if you say so. And I kind of mentioned it to them that my computer is brand new. It doesn't have anything in history. So why would it give me that problem? But I understand. You guys are, you have everybody watching everything because we know that we're being watched, especially us people with big mouths and the conscious people are being watched. Not only are we being watched on probably Blog Talk, we're being watched on Facebook. We're being watched on YouTube because I do have a YouTube channel. We're being watched on our Twitter, which I don't Twitter. We're being watched on our LinkedIn. I almost guaranteed you I know we're being watched. And you're probably even in my email. I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to be upset because you know what? Y'all got to do what you got to do. But you cannot. We are going to use our First Amendment for freedom of speech. When you stop allowing us to have free speech, then we have an issue. But as long as you allow us to say what we're supposed to say, you can't silence us. So stop trying to silence us. We have a right because you feel offensive or you feel like we shouldn't say because we might change some minds. That's your problem, not ours. So whoever's listening, stop trying to change how we're doing things. We don't try to change you. But understand this. You guys can do whatever the hell you want to. World dominance will never happen. Okay? You guys have been fighting for it for forever. And you got a lot of people that's fighting back at you, okay, that's pushing back. So that's why you have to fight a little bit harder. That's why when Beyonce did her thing at the Super Bowl, you guys had a fit. And you guys thought you were going to hurt her. And that she, you know, oh, we're not going to, we're not going to be security for her. Did you see what happened? Nation of Islam jumped up and said, we'll be there for you. So, what amazed me is I'm quite sure there's a league of black security companies. There's a league of black cops that could have said, I'm going to be there for her. But I mean, hey, that's all right. We understand that everybody can't do that. Everybody's not going to risk their way of life for one person who's got a lot of money and can, you know, buy all the security she needs. But that's fine. And the idea that a councilman from, I think he's from Canada, talking about they need to investigate her with the Black Panthers. So fucking what? So what? Okay? We're not supposed to associate ourselves with our own people? Come on, y'all. That sounds so stupid. But anything goes when it comes to you guys being afraid. Because like I said before, I don't care what nobody says. I believe that we are not a minority. And I want you guys to understand this. Quit calling yourself a minority. You're not a minority. No way, shape, form, or fashion are you a minority. So don't let anybody tell you that you're in a minority. You're not a minority, okay? And that's why it's so much fear of us coming together as a mass population of people. That goes for all the people that white folks have mistreated. That is the biggest fear they have. That's why they having all these gun shows. See, you wouldn't have to protect yourself or defend yourself if you haven't done anything wrong. But because you've done history, history has shown over and over again how much destruction you guys have done to other people. Ain't no need to run now, because I'll tell you this. This is what I believe. I believe you can have all the guns in the world, but I believe that there's somebody with a higher power that is not going to protect you when the wrath comes. I believe that. I believe that there is no way that you can go to church every Sunday and believe in a God that allows you to have this white supremacy attitude. I don't believe that. And that's why I don't get caught up in religion. I can be spiritual, but I don't have to be caught up in the religion thing. And that's why I wish some more of our black people start waking up and realize that you being a Christian has hurt you more than it has helped you. That you should look at things in a different way, in a spiritual way, not in a religious way, but in a spiritual way. And you'd understand that the things that are being done to us, it's not kosher and it's not accepted, and we'll stand up more. But as long as our minds are chained and chained to this mentality of turning the other cheek and, you know, let God fight our battles, God is not going to fight our battles, because God didn't create this mess. He's going to take care of us eventually. But remember this, the concept that we believe in the same God that our oppressors do, that's scary. So how can you think that anything is going to come to your, how do you think that that God is going to come to your safety if he's also the God of the oppressor? That doesn't work, honey. That mindset needs to change. I don't believe that the people who are trying to hurt my people believe in the same God. I just don't believe they do. I don't think they believe in God at all. I think it's a front. I think it's their safety net to continue to do the stupid shit that they do. Just like it's our safety net to ignore it and allow it to be done to us. So I don't get caught up with religion too much. It's not who I am. And I'm glad that I don't. I think it's very important for us to think for ourselves and to get away from this concept of religion. And that's going to be another thing, another good subject we can talk about and discuss, how to handle religion and what is the difference between religion and spirituality. I don't know if I've done a show on that before, but it just amazes me. It really does. It really amazes me on the concept that is used. You guys, you know what? I'm going to close out the show because I know we have a big day tomorrow. And again, I'm going to say happy birthday to my mom. We have a big day tomorrow. So I'm going to close out the show early tonight, 17 minutes early than usual. Because I have a lot of things I have to do tomorrow and I need to get my rest. You guys, I do. I'm going to be honest with you. I need my rest. And I think this show was very enlightening. And I hope you guys, if you didn't hear it on here, you can always believe me. I'm going to put it on the tunein.com too. Okay? On the Universal Collective Network. So you get a chance to listen to us not only on Blog Talk, but you also get a chance to listen to us on Universal Collective Network on TuneIn. And as soon as we get our other radio station up, you'll be able to listen to us. So it's going to be a constant of us drumming this stuff in your head. We have Center Stage with Carrie Hines. We have Delicious Talk at Nighttime, which is for adults only, with Gail Johnson. We have Unmasked with authoress Terry Lyle. She's also at Nighttime. We have Dino Dean, and we have Real Talks. And then you have me, Red Journal Radio. Okay? So, you guys, I'm looking forward to us making sure this works. I'm excited. I'm just like accelerated. I thank you guys for listening into the Blog Talk Radio show. Please stay safe. Have a great weekend. And I'm going to say good night. Oh, and don't forget to listen next Wednesday. We have a guest for next Wednesday. And we have a guest, Miss Veronique, who was supposed to be here tonight, but we rescheduled for her for next Thursday, which is March the 3rd, 8:30. We'll be listening to the artist Veronique. Very nice woman. Very nice lady. All right. So, you guys, I will see you guys later. I want to say thank you again for listening into the Red Journal Radio Show. And I want to say goodbye. Thank you for listening to the Red Journal Radio Show. Join us again for more news and information that will stimulate your mind, inspire you to step out your comfort zone.